Tonight's passage just happens to include my very favorite verse of the Bible, and I know it's kind of a running joke around here about a passage being one of my favorite verses, but some of you know this. Isaiah 40 verse 8 is my all-time favorite verse, and it just happens to be included in tonight's passage, and I'll get more into that when we get to verses 24 and 25. And then I had Carolyn ask me when I sent her the information for the bulletin, and I had Ramona ask me whenever she read the bulletin to proofread it, is that supposed to be 1:22 to 23? What is that? Well, actually, I'm overlapping, finishing up one chapter and starting up in another one. And I'm glad that I wasn't on the committee who took those old scrolls and divided them up into chapters and verses. But if I had been, I probably would have done this one just a little bit differently. But I wasn't on that committee, and praise God for that. So we're going to be looking tonight at 1 Peter chapter 1, the last few verses, and 1 Peter chapter 2, the first few verses. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 22. And I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand as we read from God's word. Starts off like this. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached for you, to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you, first of all, for your word, and thank you for this affirmation once again that believing in you, being born again, knowing you, accepting you as our Savior, purifies us. Nothing else can purify us. Thank you once again, Lord, for the affirmation that of all the things there are in this world, none of it will last, but your word stands forever. And I pray, God, that we could follow these really simple instructions in these few verses for living a life that reflects the fact that we've been purified. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, verse 22 begins by talking about, since you have purified your souls. And that kind of begs the question, is your soul purified? Peter addresses this, as we've already pointed out many times, to the dispersion, to those who've been scattered throughout the area because of their beliefs. And then he says, since you have been purified. I have to tell you that there are times that I certainly don't feel like I'm very pure. I don't know if anybody else feels that way ever. Most recently, I was sitting, this is a dumb thing to try to do, and I know this, but I was coming down to turn left at the Y, and not everybody knows what I mean by the Y, but you know where I'm talking about at the Y, the intersection of Highway 1369 and Main Street, where it Y's off. And I'm coming up there trying to turn left to go pick up Isaac from school. And I just happened to get there at the dreaded hour of 3 o'clock. Now, if you're not around at that time, you don't know what I'm talking about. But that's when all the school buses are coming from the bus barn to the elementary school to pick up the kids. So you got school bus, car, 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 school bus. It's just like constant. So I pull up there, and I'm waiting for that break. You know how that goes. You've all been there. And I think, okay, here comes a van from the left, and if she would just hurry up just a little bit, she'd get by me before this car got here to keep me from turning left. And I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and she gets almost to pass me, and she turns left. I could have gone 20 seconds earlier if she would have just signaled. My thoughts were not, shall we say, very pure at that time. Well, that's confession for you. And I implore you, use your signals. My brother used to tell my kids, because he never used his signals, he says, everybody knows where I'm going. And they probably did with my brother, because he only went to town and back, and to town and back. But that's about the extent of it. But it just is aggravating to me when people don't indicate their intentions, and it messes me up a little bit. Okay? Well, that's my confession to you today. Confession is good for the soul. I don't think the Bible actually says those words in the same order necessarily, but it does make it clear that confession is a good thing. Confess your sins one to another. Well, to be pure means to be cleaned up, to remove any unwanted, undesirable thing. Can we purify ourselves? Almost everybody's tried at one time or another, but we can be made pure only through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the absolute only way that purification can come to us. And Peter's writing here to people who have accepted Jesus as their Savior. Therefore, they have been purified. And the unwanted, undesirable sins have been removed. And believer, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, even though there are times when we don't feel very pure, those things have been removed from us. We have been purified. Peter then says to them that they have obeyed the truth through the Spirit. There was most of us are familiar with this passage. Pilate was talking to Jesus, trying to find out whether or not he was guilty of any crimes. And at some point, Jesus mentioned truth. And Pilate said, "What is truth?" It was a camp theme a few years back. Well, we live in a time in our history when somebody said that the truth isn't the truth. And somebody else said, you can't handle the truth. And truth has just been twisted and turned and modified. And in the world's eyes, truth really doesn't mean much anymore. But I want you to know this. In God's eyes, truth is still the truth. And it always will be. Jesus said this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the truth. And we are empowered through Jesus to obey the truth, which is Jesus. I hope that you get that. And that's all through the Holy Spirit and the working of the Lord. One of the outgrowths it tells us here of being purified, of obeying the truth, and this just keeps coming up in so many different scriptures that God's using, or that we just kind of were going through 1 Peter, so obviously it's going to come up. But he says here that this is one of the outgrowths of being purified. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Not just tolerate one another. That's not what it says. It says to love one another. Not just those whom you find lovable, and not just a little bit. Love one another, and as I see it, that doesn't exclude anyone. Love one another. All of them. Everybody. Even the ones who don't use their turn signals. Truly. You know. Or whoever it is that happens to really get under your skin. Love one another fervently. That means enthusiastically, passionately. Not like, well, I'll be nice to them for a minute and then I'll be done and I don't have to do it anymore. Love them passionately. I know I've spoken about the last two funerals that I had that just happened to be for residents of the group homes. And the common characteristic that I saw in both of these ladies, even though I didn't know them, and to me, you know, I love to hear a testimony from somebody, but I think it's even more telling when I hear testimonies from others about that somebody. Because that shows that they lived their life in such a way that others noticed it. And for both of these ladies, I just heard over and over again that they had a pure heart and that they had a love for people, a passionate, fervent love for people. There's a lot that we could learn from that. Verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Just another reason why we need to live a life that is pure and obedient and loving, because we've been given eternal life. I mean, we're being asked to return so very little in exchange for what we've been given, which is eternal life. Peter adds that the incorruptible seed, the knowledge of the one who saves, comes to us through God's word, which is living and abides forever. God's word is living. And I got to tell you, I've read some old stuff. You know, I've read old books before, and I've read things like the Odyssey from way back in ancient Greek times and things like that. And I can read through those things, and I just end up going, what? What was that? And I know that sometimes we feel that way about this. But truly, it is living, and it is profitable, and it abides forever, and it speaks to me when I read it, when I contemplate what it says. It's living, and it abides forever. And there's not much that you can say about this old world that abides forever. I didn't even plan this. I've got two different Gilman City things in one day here, but I talked about Gilman this morning. But this past Monday, well, actually, way back in July, I was asked to come this past Monday to speak at the genealogy library about Gilman City history. I bet y'all wish you could have been there, huh? But it's something that I happen to have a passion about. You know, I don't need notes, and I don't need anything else. I can talk about Gilman City history just forever. And it's just something that I have a passion about. But it doesn't take much time walking down memory lane through Gilman City without noticing that it doesn't last forever. And I don't care if you're talking about Gilman City or Mount Moriah or Ridgeway or New Hampton or any other town. It doesn't last forever. Bethany doesn't last forever, you know. Things on the square are not like they used to be in 1960. I'm just going to tell you. I remember. Anyway, in Gilman, I think about this because Gilman was born because of the railroad, which is no longer there. The economy of a place like Gilman City was based on everybody having an 80-acre farm and 10 kids and all coming to town to shop. That's no longer there. The streets were lined with 53 businesses back in the 1920s that are no longer there. The schools were filled with children, no longer there. It changes. It doesn't last forever. And that's just one example. But nothing on this earth is eternal except the Word of God. And with all the attempts that there have been, and there have been many, to squelch it, to burn it, to ban it, to get rid of it totally, it still stands. Praise God. So to illustrate that very idea, Peter quotes from Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8. And it reads again like this: all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower fades or falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Just this past year, I've been, and I'm cautious to mention anything about the Royals because I've been told that I talk about the Royals a lot. But anyway, just this past year, they've been celebrating their 50th anniversary, 50 years, and so on. And so they've been bringing back the old guys. Anybody notice that? They bring back the teams from 1985 or from 1977 or from whatever else. And I remember those guys playing ball, and they were young, and they were healthy, and they could run, and they could throw, and they could bat. They barely were able to walk out on the field. And it kind of crushes me a little bit to think that these guys that I grew up watching, that I was already grown up watching, are old. And then every once in a while, on something like the Academy Awards, if anybody watches anything like that, they'll bring out the Academy Award winning actress from 1950 and she'll present the award and they have to wheel her out. And they show this picture of her when she was young and beautiful. And now she's old. It happens. It happens. All flesh is as grass, beautiful and flowering for a moment, but withered and fallen when the day ends. I've said many times over that in my lifetime, it seems like the days can go so slowly, but the years fly by. Anybody ever notice that? Especially when, you know, you're in your job and it just seems like it's never going to get over and different things like that. But when you look back on the last however many years, the years have flown. I've been doing a little genealogy. Colleen's family is going to be meeting at our house in a few weeks, and Ramona wanted me to have a little information to share with everybody. And one of the things that I've noticed as I do this genealogy is every name that I pull up that I didn't know before, every one of those people was young and vibrant and planning a family and working hard on their farms or in their businesses at one time. And now, they're nothing but a memory. And every time I pull up a picture of a tombstone somewhere, and I think about that, and that's just kind of the way I operate, but I think that tombstone was placed on a fresh grave at one time that people mourned over and you know, really were saddened by their loss, but now nobody remembers. I've told you before that when I walk through the cemetery around Memorial Day, it just amazes me. The whole north side is just covered with so many flowers and floral tributes of some kind for the people that are buried there. And the whole south side is barren. You know why? They've been there longer. Nobody remembers them. The flower fades, the grass withers, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Farthest back I've been able to trace any line of the family is around 1600, a little over 400 years ago. But I want you to know this. From 1600, from 3000 BC, whatever, to 2018, God's word has never changed. Now, I don't know if you really get the big deal about that, because everything else has changed. Everything has changed except for this. No matter how much things change, no matter what you and I go through, the word of the Lord endures forever. I just think that's incredible. And it is this word by which we're told here in the last part of verse 25 that the gospel is preached to you and to all people. Now, chapter 2, I'm just going to read all three verses at one time here. It says, therefore, and we've done that enough times, I don't need to go through it again, but because of the things that we've just read, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, I hope you can see to some extent why I wanted to include these three verses with the previous ones. I want to start at the back of this. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And I assume that you have. If you're a believer, if you've been forgiven, you have tasted how gracious the Lord is. How much more should we be gracious to one another? Because of how gracious he's been to me. If God can forgive me for a multitude of sins, can't I forgive one lady for not using her signal? And I don't want to keep harping on that, but I mean, it's just, I sinned that day because of what happened. I was so upset because I didn't get to turn left when I wanted to, you know? And when you get right down to it, isn't that the way the things most usually work for us? The things that make us mad are so laughable that when we tell other people about it, they think, that upset you? Wow. I know that that's a small thing in the big picture, but forgiving, considering what, that God has forgiven us in all of our sins, what is there that we should not forgive? So, because of his word, because of his grace, because of his purification and his love, because of all this, stop doing evil. Talks about malice, laying aside all malice. Now, we don't use the word malice very much, but it's defined as the intention to do evil. And I want to say this, any time that we do something evil, it's not an accident. It's not like, you know, the devil just took possession of your body and made you do what you did. It was an evil intent. I intend to do evil when I sin. We all do. And so it's important to note, no evil has ever been done without purposeful intention. Perhaps the greatest president in American history, and I'm not going to say Harry Truman, was Abraham Lincoln. And it is in his second inaugural address in March of 1865, after the Civil War, which was still going on. The Civil War had raged for 4 years at that point, and over 600,000 people had been killed in that war. And again, I don't know if you grasp the significance of that. There were 400,000 killed in World War II. 600,000 out of a population of something like 31 million, that's one out of every 50 in the whole United States that was killed. And after all that, in his inaugural address to a nation that was still divided and still fighting each other, the most famous line from his inaugural address said this: with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, and this is my favorite part, to bind up the nation's wounds. Not let's go after those suckers after all they've done to us, not let's see what we can do to absolutely destroy these people who have brought so much heartache and everything upon us. Let's see what we can do to bind up the nation's wounds. It almost makes me cry to think that we had a man that spoke like that, that led this nation. And it was such a beautiful idea of expressing forgiveness instead of bitterness. But unfortunately, just a little over a month later, Lincoln was assassinated, and the course of the nation took a different direction totally, from binding up wounds to creating even deeper ones, which lasted well over 100 years, and I would say are still there. Peter tells us to get rid of malice, evil intent, to get rid of deceit, to get rid of hypocrisy, to get rid of envy, to get rid of evil speaking. If even half the world would follow those directions, if even half of the United States would follow those directions, I think we could change the rest of the world. And it's God's word that first spoke these things, and it hasn't changed. I know it's all easier said than done, but the word of God, which endures forever, is where we get the strength to put these things aside, lay them aside. We should desire the word of God as much as we desire to eat. Talks about the milk, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. We should desire this word to feed us, to grow us, to change us, so that through the word of God we might become better than we really were before. And that's, folks, church, that's why we're here. To leave here better than we were when we came here, because of God's word. That's my prayer for me. It's my prayer for each one of us here tonight, that we can walk out of this place different, better, because of God's word. Let's pray. Father, I truly pray for myself above all others right now, Lord, because I can't really change anything else, but I can change what I do through you. I pray, God, that you'd help me to lay aside the malice, the deceit, the hypocrisy, the evil thoughts, the different things that just crop up so easily, the sin that so easily ensnares us, that we might be able to truly live as you've prescribed for us in your word. Lord, I thank you that in a world where chaos seems to reign and there's difficulty all around us and everything has changed since I was a kid, except your word. And I just thank you, Lord, that we have that one firm foundation that we can truly rely upon in all things. Thank you for giving that to us. Thank you for preserving it, that we might be able to read it, to have it, to study it, and Lord, have the opportunity to live it. I just pray that we would. Lord, I just really pray that because of the word of God, we can leave here better than we were when we came. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.